This is the DJ3000. It plays CDs automatically, and it has three distinct varieties of inane chatter.
Hey, hey, how about that weather out there? Whoa, that was the caller from hell. Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Man, that thing's great.
Don't praise the machine.
Looks like those clowns in Congress did it again. What a bunch of clowns.
How does he keep up with the news like that?
TBTL!
Sometimes a little comic relief is the best way to deliver a serious message.
Voting is like a childish Gambino video, Don. It's very important.
Don't bully me, all right? I can't take it. I was cyberbullied within an inch of my life last night.
You guys are so fun. Just relentlessly fun. I keep thinking, when are they going to stop being fun? And the answer is never.
Are you going to get out there? For
what? Like just, yeah.
I don't believe you're seriously considering listening to these men.
All right, it's time to get out there, everybody. Time to get out there for a Tuesday morning edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
This song goes out to all the coffee lovers of the world.
My name is Luke Burbank. I am your host, coming to you from the Burbank Springs Broadcast Center, perched atop Alabama Hill in Bellingham, Washington, the Bay City. Happy Election Day, everybody.
Do you think people will vote for me?
Heck yes. I'd vote for you.
Big day here in these United States. I woke up just all tingly. Woke up through the MSNBC on the stereo system in the house, which is the thing I can do. And I've just been listening to catheter commercials all morning in every room of the house. And then occasionally some political commentary. I also woke up all tingly today because of the incredibly kind letters. Those would be electronic mail. Nobody's mailed me a real letter yet, but emails and texts and even some tweets from people. Thank you so much, everybody.
I feel happy of myself.
I really do feel happy of myself on this Tuesday morning because of all the love and support that I've gotten from folks over the news yesterday that I've decided to be sober. And it's just it's a really life affirming experience for me, and I feel very lucky. So thank you.
Sincerity is one of my favorite victories in this lifetime.
A couple more things on that we'll talk about in a minute here. Not any more news, don't worry. But just a couple things I want to clarify. I didn't get everything exactly right yesterday, and so I'll do that coming up. And also, of course, we will talk a ton about today being Election Day.
Who cares about this stupid election?
I do a lot. We're not going to probably break down races because that's not really something we know about. And also, by the time many of you hear this, it will be pretty irrelevant. But we will talk about woke Axl Rose, which is the only woke member of GNR that you really need to know about. Also, Axl Rose really leaning into using N as a way of representing the word and. It's not just a Guns N' Roses thing. It's apparently a lifestyle choice for Axl. So we'll do that. We'll do emails and V-mails. And we'll talk to this guy, the longest-running Cobra of the show. His vibes are the illest, and his jams, as you know, are Nah-ridic. My hope is that he's going to eat that microphone this episode. He is as real as the streets. He is Andrew Walsh, and he joins us right now from the Roosevelt neighborhood, Seattle, Washington. Happy Election Day to you, Mike Cobrogan.
Thank you. You too. And I got to say, I also woke up feeling a little tingly today, but I think it was because I was sleeping on my arm weird. You ever have that where you're sleeping on your arm weird and you wake up and at first you don't feel it, then it's kind of tingly? That's what I had, only across my whole body.
Oh, you played The Stranger. I know that game.
All right. Clean it up, Burbank.
I had a version of that happen last night in a moment that was inopportune. I'll quickly, I guess, tell you what happened. This was, of course, not the plan to start the show, but whatever. We're back to regular programming on TBTL, which means just whatever flights of fancy strike us. So, yes, last night, my neighbor Rich, who is definitely real, swung by, I think just honestly to make sure I wasn't knee-deep in the hoopla again, which is probably good. And so he came over, he brought me some chocolate chip cookies and some milk, and we just like hung out a little while and talked, and just kind of talked about where my life is at right now and where I'm going with things. And I was sitting on this like kind of high, it's like a chair in our kitchen. We have a kitchen island, and so we have these chairs that Carrie bought online. I think they came from China or something. They're like knockoffs of these really expensive, like kind of mid-century high chairs, I guess you could say. They're made out of metal, though, and the padding on them looks sort of cool, but it's not actually that padded, which is why I almost never sit on these chairs. They're like decorative chairs.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're also like 1 inch too high, so that if you sit on them and you try to slide under the kitchen island, your like thighs are pressed against bottom of the kitchen island. So again, they look great. They're just not good for adult looks to sit in. But for whatever reason, I was sitting in this chair having this long conversation with Rich again about just like how I'm doing and just, you know, just what my plan is, etc. And little did I know that the metal from one of these chairs was cutting off all of the circulation in one of my legs. So I'm telling him, man, I've never been better, and I know I can do this. And like I actually had the thought go through my mind, and I'm not trying to be glib about any of this stuff, but I did have the thought go through my mind, how weird would it be if I was secretly super drunk right now? And so I wasn't, by the way. I was drunk on accomplishment because I made an eggplant-based lasagna last night, Andrew. That was, I mean, I know there's a lot of big news out here today, but my vegetarian low-carb eggplant lasagna was banging last night.
That's not news.
So I'm talking to Rich. I'm telling him how great I'm doing. I'm thinking, God, wouldn't it be weird if I was secretly drunk? And then I get up off the chair to take a step, and my leg is totally asleep, and I keel over.
And you happen to have just spilled a bunch of rubbing alcohol all over your pan, so that you had an
that
odor
was,
of
and
booze.
And you know what? That was extremely unfortunate, the timing of that.
Yeah, just a lot of
I'm looking
stuff
at him, and
way.
I'm like, yeah, man, I'm doing great. I got this. Thank you for your help and your love and support, and I'm listing all the ways that I'm going to be working on this. And then I just like slide the chair back, and I take one step, and I just fucking collapse onto the kitchen floor. I was like, I'm okay. My leg fell asleep.
And then you woke up in Andy and Barney's jail cell. That was a Mayberry joke. It wasn't a good Mayberry joke, but it was a goddamn Mayberry joke.
Let's keep it really.
I cannot believe he just told that joke.
Try to keep relevant. The comedy based right in the late 1950s.
Yeah, no, that's my sweet spot.
Oh, anyway.
If there are any bad Mayberry jokes, I haven't heard them. That's all I got to say.
It's sad to me that these young whippersnappers, these willenniums. Wait, that's a Will.i.am record. That's not a generation. Yeah, these willennials. These willennials. They don't know the majesty of Don Knotts. So if I want to throw down there's a trick to it, Annie, which is a terrible Don Knotts impression. I think the sniffing was kind of good. If I want to throw down a good Don Knotts impression, it has no currency in this current world. We are going to talk. We'll talk a little bit about just it being election day coming up in top stories. But I just wanted to say here at the top of the show, I've already said this once, but it bears repeating. Thank you to everybody for the really kind messages. I feel so lucky about so many things in my life, but one of them is, and like I almost have, I guess, what I would have to call podcast privilege, Andrew. Like a lot of people that go through what I'm going through, where they decide that they're going to be sober, they just have to like, they do it on their own or maybe with a couple of close friends or people looking out for them. They don't have this incredible experience that I have of hundreds, and I'm not exaggerating, hundreds of people just sending me messages saying, we love you and we love Carrie and we're holding you in our hearts right now. Like that's an amazing thing. And that's something I am so lucky to have. It kind of gives me energy and makes me feel like, yeah, this is really doable. And like, anyway, so I want to say thanks to everybody. If I don't respond right away, it's because I am I'm working my way through the messages, but I'll really try to get back to everybody and thank you so much. One thing I want to say, I listened back to yesterday's show. Not the no point. I feel like I kind of know what happened there.
Mm-hmm. Did the Browns win?
Yes. In the multiverse, I mean, the thing is, if you really embrace the multiverse theory, there is a universe in which the Browns are undefeated right now.
And you know what? So, it's a boring universe. There. It's a boring universe because they've just won. I mean, every year, mm-hmm. you know they're going to make yeah. the playoffs, if yeah. not win the Super Bowl. It's just getting so tired in that universe. Here, yeah. we have something to root for, something to wake right. up for on Sunday mornings. Sure. That's what I love.
I consider it the medium place where the Browns win all yeah. the time. It's 1980s. There's a sex-crazed lady from Workaholics.
hey, do you know that there's a – I get this every couple of weeks. Somebody will send me the screen cap. You know the in the very first episode when Ted Danson is explaining the whole thesis of The Good Place, and he's standing in front of a kind of a dynamic text board that is explaining the things you do that earn you points for The Good Place and that deduct points for The Good Place. Does that image ring a bell to you?
Yes.
Tons of words all over the screen, and if you pause it and look, there's a bunch of funny jokes. And one of the things you can do to earn a lot of good points is root for the Cleveland Browns faithfully.
Blake Bortles!
Yeah.
I know he's not a Cleveland. I don't know why I need to clarify that, but I just do for some reason.
I understand that.
So anyway, I just wanted to – I listened back to some of yesterday's show, and I mean overall I was happy with it. Of course, these things never feel – great, probably, if you're you or me and we're listening to ourselves talking, and particularly on a topic that's really serious for me. But one thing that I didn't do a great job of yesterday, I think I talked about almost everybody's experience in this thing except for Carrie's.
That's my wife.
And I think it was for a couple of reasons. One was because I thought if I started talking about her, I would start crying really, really hard. And I was already worried about getting overly emotional, and so I think I was sort of subconsciously steering away from it. And I also have a history on this show of trying to talk about things that happen, like things that are meaningless that happen in my life with my wife, where I always seem like I'm getting something wrong, or she'll, if she hears it, she'll be like, that is not how that happened. And the stakes just seem so high for this whole thing that I think I wanted to just – I was just worried about getting something wrong or saying something about her experience that was incorrect or putting thoughts in her head. But when I listened back to it, I realized like I gave her experience short shrift, which is pretty egregious because honestly, if there's one person in this whole thing who I owe a debt that I'll never be able to pay back, it's Carrie, who has just been like incredible. Like the condition she found me in when she came home, it was atrocious. And then for her to, instead of just being like, hey, what the F, for her to just like help me into bed. And then when I woke up to just surround me with love and to just be like, I love you. I'm here for you. For her to do the opposite thing of what probably emotionally was going on for her, was just completely and totally, it was angelic, and I really appreciate that. And to the degree that I skipped over it yesterday, I apologize for that, or I feel bad about it, I guess. I don't know who I'm apologizing to. I'm also getting a text right now that I realize I just forgot a LiveWire meeting.
Oh no!
Because my life is going better, but not so much better that I remember all the meetings I'm supposed to be in. So let me just text them.
I have an idea. I mean, I don't have any great hot takes today. So if you were interested, if the meeting just started 7 minutes ago, I see it's 10:37 right now. Just do it. Have the meeting. Put me on the call too. I don't know. Call me. Can you call me a guest associate producer maybe? And we'll just turn that whole thing into content. People can see how the magic is made on LiveWire, what it's like to listen to or plan a real radio show.
Actually, I mean, do we have the ability? Can we loop in Laura Haddon and Caitlin Kunkel, our writer in New York? By the way, let me do this. Let me make up for my thoughtlessness and my lack of schedule awareness by saying Caitlin has a new book out, her and a sort of collaboration of other writers. It's called Erotica for Females, and it's a lot of like sexy stories about getting equal pay and also being treated like a human being, It's New Erotica for Feminists. So if you see that book out there, grab it. It's by our main Livewire writer, Caitlin Kunkel. And again, I offer that as a small I don't have anything to promote for Laura Haddon, but at least for Caitlin, I'm going to try to make up for the fact that they're both sitting right now on a conference call waiting for me, and I'm not there.
You know, we never talked about this. We should probably just take a break here. But and of course, there's a chance, a very real chance that he will hear this. But I was mortified last week to get an email from our boss who was standing by on a conference line that neither one of us was on because I had made a trip to Cleveland. And usually I'm good at keeping track of my schedule, but I have a couple of recurring appointments on my calendar that are kind of optional. Like I have a recurring Friday meeting with somebody else that's kind of like, yeah, sometimes we do it, sometimes we don't. And I didn't realize that we had a meeting with our boss. And can you, I mean, you know me pretty well, Luke. Imagine the feeling I had when I was just like, at home in Cleveland, there's a 3-hour difference. So it's like, what, like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And we get a note from our boss, who, by the way, has never dressed us down for anything, has never been anything but really, really cool. But he just shot us an email that said, guys, are we doing this meeting or not? I'm on hold on the conference line. And then even wrote, no big deal if you don't want to do it. And I had to be like, oh, boss, I'm in Cleveland. Did I forget to mention that? Not the highlight of my trip, I would say.
It gave me the chance to, for once, not be the supreme F-up, though,
in our
professional partnership, because I was able to actually respond more quickly than you were and say, oh, I forget where I was. Maybe Chicago? I don't know. I somehow saw the email before you did, and I basically like said, we were both traveling. Apologies. I felt like I was able to get out there and take that bullet for both of us. And again, that's, I would say, 1 out of 6,000 times when that kind of thing happens for us, I'm the one who's actually out in front on it. And so it was a very good feeling.
Well, actually,
very nice feeling for me.
I have the email here. You actually responded, and I'm reading directly here. Hey, boss, I was ready to go for this meeting, but Andrew said we don't have to do it today. Do we have a communication problem here, Andrew? 2 question marks, 1 exclamation point. I don't know, boss. Just trying to make it work over here.
Just trying to get that bread, chief. I was proud of my Twitter joke this morning, which I said, let's get that dread, because I have to. Well, you know what? Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, we can just talk a little bit about, just how we are both making our way through this election day. I know a lot of our listeners, this is a big issue to them. I can't help but think about the fact that four years ago on this show, I had forgotten to vote and was very cavalier about it. And the listeners, that was as mad as the listeners have been with me in a while. But anyway, today I'm having quite the opposite experience. So we'll talk about that because I know it's on everybody's mind. So we'll do that coming back in a moment. By the way, I got a text back from Laura Haddon. She asked if I would plug the Livewire podcast. I said, do you have anything I can plug? She said, no, except the Livewire podcast. Everyone, please go to Apple. Go to, what's it called? iTunes? Is that what they call it now?
Yeah, I think it's Apple Podcasts is what they're going for now.
Okay. Go to where you get podcasts and subscribe to the Livewire podcast, which is a different show that I do. You probably know about it. And then the executive producer, Laura Haddon, whose time I've been wasting this morning, will be happy as well. So, New Erotica for Feminists, Livewire podcast. Andrew's bad at meetings. These are the 3 takeaways. Yeah, hey, are you just spotless?
Oh, I was gonna say follow me on Twitter at Andrew_Walsh. But sure, also spotless.
Follow Andrew on Twitter. But yeah, plug spotless, man.
Yeah, we just released our third episode of our cleaning podcast, me and Hannah Brooks Olson. So I'm not gonna waste too much time doing it because we promoted the shit out of it last week when Hannah was on the show, and I don't want to take advantage. But yeah, we've been getting some phone calls from you guys, and it's been a lot of fun. And as a matter of fact, this last podcast we just did on we just posted it yesterday. We actually had our first kind of like actual caller on the show, a listener who is having some issues. I would say relationship issues surrounding the topic of vacuuming and dusting. So I like to think that we did some real good there.
Nice. Okay, quick break, and then we'll come back with more TBTL in just a moment.
Sunny Digital. Got the club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she choosy. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she choosy. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she choosy. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she choosy.
Squad going up. Nobody flipping now. I just did three in a row. Them shows is back to back to back now.
Put the God, I love Makonnen. I love actually, this song. Is the only song I know.
I know.
But
actually,
I
check it. I think this is on a, I can't remember the name
is
of it.
A Drake song, technically?
No, it's technically, actually, maybe it's titled as that. But the Makonnen, there is a Makonnen EP that this appears on. And there's a version without Drake on that, too. But like, it's
really?
Maybe it's an album. But it's just like seven or eight tight little songs. And they're weird. They're all kind of weird in their own way. But it's cool. Like, I do love Makonnen.
I think what happened was... I Love Makonnen was making songs and made this song, and I don't know if it was like widely known, and then Drake basically took the song, chopped it, screwed it, or something, or basically he
added
then rapped
track.
Over part
yeah.
of it, and then it became this mega thing.
Yeah.
This is really good. How would you describe this style of sound?
I don't know. By the way, what I'm playing now is, and we don't have to belabor this. I'll just keep in the background for a second. This is the non Drake version. So this is what he released
oh, really?
On his
Can
own.
I, yeah. Let me listen to this. I would describe this music as drippy.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Let's is perfect. I love Makonnen, and I also love our donors of the day, or as
man.
I call them, Dakonnen. I love Dakonnen. Does that work? No, it doesn't. That's fine. Everybody just forget I said that.
I'm trying to figure out. There are some jokes that go over my head, and there are some jokes that don't work, and I'm trying to figure out which one that is.
I was trying to work donor.
Oh,
I was trying
okay.
to substitute donor
okay.
for Makonnen. And then, no, that wasn't one that went over your head. That one went under your dignity. That's on me. Corey Plucker of East Hampton, Massachusetts, is a donor of the day, has donated to TBTL, is donated to TBTL, is making today's show possible. Also, Chris Surface of Tacoma, Washington, Teresa Slusher of Tumwater, Washington. We had a lot of Tumwater up in this, up in this donor, up in this Dakonnen. Why do I do that? Why is it when something
because
fails?
Because eventually it's going to work. You just got to keep on.
Sometimes it doesn't.
It's like the run game, Luke. You just got to keep trying. And
yeah,
you
but
gotta...
the problem is that was the Mike Davis of jokes. If it was the Chris Carson of jokes, it would have been better. I love Mike Davis, for the record. I'm not here to slight Mike Davis, but I think Mike Davis is like... Mike Davis is a... he's like a spice... That is nice when used in to complement something larger, a.k.a. Chris Carson. You cannot – like he's cumin. Cumin's great in certain dishes. You wouldn't just want to just power use a just a cup full of cumin as your meal.
No.
And that joke that I've made is that. Also, Nick Armies of Windermere, Florida. Keeps him in his sleeves.
Exactly. I'm so glad that I've implanted that in your brain, too. You'll never see him or his name without thinking that. I love it.
We have Nick and his lovely girlfriend to thank for the fact that my whole experience with driving Gravedigger and my regrettable experience with my post-game chat is even like part of the permanent record of this show because he was there videotaping it on his phone. Had they not been there, it would. Lord knows, there's no way CBS would release the footage to me. I appreciate them coming to that event. I might have said this at the time, but what was kind of funny was they drove up, I guess, from Windermere, Florida, to Tampa to see this thing, and I thought they were there exclusively for the LB.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, hey, thanks so much for coming. They were like, oh, no, no, we would have been here anyway. We're really into Monster Jam.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. I thought they were there for the vitamin LB, too. And I love that they're in the Monster Jam. Nick Army, I know you're a donor and we're thanking you here. But also, if you're ever in the area or if I'm in your area and there's a Monster Truck thing going on, I want to get together and do it. I used to go to Monster Truck rallies all the time when I was a kid, in tractor pulls and crap like that. I haven't been in so long, and it's missing from my life.
You know what's so funny is I have become totally, not just as an excuse, not just because I want an excuse to like keep dropping the fact that I've actually operated one of these vehicles, but I legit am now interested in what goes on with these things. Mm-hmm. In fact, you know what I just realized? I had a long dream about monster truck driving last night that I had totally forgotten until this very moment. You know how that happens?
Yeah, yeah.
You forget you had a dream. And I won't bore people with it, because this is the donors of the day. This is the Deconins of the day. Not a dream catcher came to life. But I had a long dream about watching someone do incredible flips in a monster truck. But all of that to say, I am now, because of kind of having more of an awareness of how challenging what those people are doing is, I would 100% go to a monster truck or monster jam event with you and with Nick Armies or anybody else. Like, I went from thinking it was just kind of a weird, loud thing to being legit entertained by it, as I was that night in Tampa.
Uh-huh.
So let's do that. Let's put that on the calendar.
So in other words, I just asked Nick out for a night on the evening watching Monster Trucks, and now suddenly all of us are going.
What I'm saying is Nick lives all the way in Florida with his sleeveys, and we live... I'm stopping myself from saying something wildly inappropriate. As somebody once said to an ex-girlfriend of mine when I was living across the country, I'm here, Andrew. I'm here.
I think I know the back. I think I know that story.
Luckily, that's so vague. It will never make its way to any of the affected parties. But let's just say, if the Monster Jam comes through Tacoma and you and I can go, Andrew, let's go.
No, absolutely.
Let's go.
Well, you know what else I want to do? Let's just take one more Makonnen on this topic.
And call me in the morning?
Yes. Write that down as a show title.
Yeah, got it.
You know, the last thing that is even close to that I did was I went up to Monroe, which is north of Seattle here, where there's a fairgrounds, and it was the 4th of July, a long time ago. I'm going to say this is 6 years ago, maybe 7. And we went to see a demolition derby. It stands out in my head because it was freezing. It was the 4th of July. Vives and I were relatively new to Seattle. She was pretty bummed about living in Seattle at the time. I remember her being like bundled up and somewhat miserable, and me just screaming my head off watching cars crash into each other in this demolition derby. There were trucks pulling boats. Not in the water, just pulling boats on dry land and swinging them around and trying to, like, one truck would try to get its boat to hit the other truck and its boat. It was wonderful.
They trying to say I was drunk.
Oh, I love that.
I had eight
so
beers.
Much, man.
That was all. I mean, that is some, if I could say, that is some redneck Riviera shit.
I love it, though. You know, you
dry land boat, and let's smash it into something.
Yes. You know how you talk about how little Luke the boy might be disappointed in Luke the adult because you're not having Snickers for dinner every night? And
although currently I have been because we've got a giant bowl of candy. But yes, I know what you mean. Generally speaking, I don't.
Yeah. And so I think the same thing mostly with my attendance at Monster Truck rallies and demolition derbies. I went to them more as a kid. You would think that now that I have resources and I handle my own schedule and transportation, I would just be living at those things, because it is true. Like, that it might be a deathbed thing for me. Like, not I wish I'd spent more time with my family. I wish I'd spent more time at a demolition derbies.
Again, I'm not trying to be the hero in this story, but I know there's a way. At a minimum, we can get to a Monster Jam event and get some access. And at a maximum, I got to get you to Paxton. I got to get you in the rig with Tom Mentz yelling at you. And
what if that ruins it for me, though? Maybe, you know,
it will,
some men were just
freaking
meant to
terrifying.
Be...
But good, that's fine. You know what? I want to ruin this for you.
Some men were born to be spectators, Luke. That's what they're going to put on my grave. So you're going to have Grave Digger on your grave.
Okay. Also, Corin Copps of Seattle, Washington. Corin, thank you so much for supporting TBTL. Corin, Nick, Teresa, Chris, and Corey, thank you. Thanks for making TBTL possible. Thanks for sponsoring episode 2765 in a collector series. I'm just going to have another dream. I'm doing my stance. You know my Molly Pink. You know my Molly Tink, Andrew. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I'm known for one thing. It's that my Molly Tink.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
Our top story today is, I feel like in a weird sort of way, I was talking to you before the show, I feel like we have reversed, we have sort of Freaky Friday'd a little bit today in what I think of as being our general vibe in life. And by that I mean, today, as I've mentioned many times, it's the midterm election. I have had this circled on my calendar probably from like the day after the 2016 election. I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way. Like when the 2016 election happened, I was devastated that one of the ways I coped was to just like go, okay, when is the next time that something can mitigate this? And obviously that was the midterm, and so everything has been leading up to this for me. It's not a secret that I am not a fan of the current president of this country. And so anyway, I've had this has just been a whole huge thing for me, to the point of like, I'm going to Seattle this afternoon. Carrie and I are getting a hotel room. We are ordering food in, and like, I'm like sitting down and I'm just like gluing myself to MSNBC all night. This is like, I woke up in a state over this. And I'm also terrified that regardless of the fact that the polls, I don't think the polls are wrong. But what makes me nervous is that the polls are sort of like they were before the 2016 election. The chances are much greater that the Democrats will at least take back the House than not. But the margin of error means that it also could go the other way, and the Republicans could maintain control of the House and the Senate. And so I have no – like, I'm on such edge over this, and I feel so unconfident, and I am – like, nothing that anyone can tell me will make me – feel comforted until tonight when it's all said and done and they tell me that at least the Democrats have gotten the House back. So that's my state of affairs. I call you today and you sounded relatively placid about this whole thing. I don't know if humans can be placid, but you seemed placid.
I mean, those clowns in Congress, you know?
Praise the machine.
No, you know, I don't think that I have changed my attitude today. Well, I'm trying to think back to the notorious episode that you referenced before. That must have also been a midterm elections. I remember very specifically I was in California when that happened. I remember which studio I was talking to you from at KCRW, because it was a studio that I didn't use that often. So I think that puts it at 2014 midterms. Is that maybe when you said, hey, I didn't vote today, and I kind of got a little cranky on you? I was like, what do you mean you didn't vote? Which kind of launched 1,000 emails.
It must have been – it would have to have been the midterm of Obama's second term. I'm just guessing, because, of course, if it were the presidential election, I'm sure I would have voted.
So that also –
so that would have been
2014. And that would have been about when I was there. Now, you know, I wasn't – I don't think that I was like, I can't wait to go home and watch the returns. I remember just being like, you know, voting is important. I was surprised you didn't, and that's what launched that conversation. I'm in the same place today. It's not that I care any less. Obviously, the stakes are higher given, you know, who's in the Oval Office. So I understand that the stakes are high, and I think it's really important, and I want everybody to vote if they haven't already. And I have voted, and I've been following everything. So I don't want to make it sound like I'm – apathetic, certainly, and that's not what you said. You said placid, but I don't have this kind of almost like, I wake up on Sunday, I'm like, all right, let's turn on the Browns game. You and Genevieve both woke up today and just like, how can we speed up time and get to the point where we can start watching this on TV? Like I think about the Browns, and I'm nervous, I'm concerned, I'm interested.
Almost as important as the Browns.
I would say, well, I wouldn't. You know, if you start being, you know, overblown on everything, people aren't going to believe you. Keep the hyperbole to a minimum, please. But I think it's really important. But if you also told me you can't really watch the returns, whatever, you're going to be put into a black box. Well, I don't like small spaces, so I guess that wouldn't be good if you put me in a black box during the returns. But I am looking
It's my Walsh in a box.
I am looking forward to knowing what the results are, but I'm not necessarily just like kind of dying to wait to get to the wall-to-wall coverage like you guys are. I think that is going to continue to change as the day goes on. But I think there is something sporting about it, and I don't use that kind of accidentally, because one thing that I have noticed in talking I should be really careful telling you what's going on in your brain or assuming what's going on in Genevieve's brain, but certain losses, I mean, since the 2016 election, since Trump was in office, there have been certain kind of, let's say, political losses based on where the three of ours ideologies are that I think hurt you guys a little bit more, and I can't think of an example, because it also felt like you were losing. No, kind of pre-Kavanaugh, something a little bit less than that, because that's – and I can't explain it. Maybe I should retract that, because, again, I don't even know for sure that it applies to you. Maybe I've had that thought about Genevieve, that certain things suck, but then certain things suck even worse because it felt like you're on the losing team and you're kind of on the Browns of politics right now.
I think why it has hurt me and hurt a lot of our listeners is this generalized sense that nothing – that facts don't matter,
mm-hmm.
and that no matter how obvious it is that the president is lying or fear-mongering or being openly racist or openly sexist or openly everything-ist – by the way, openly everything-ist could be a decent mm-hmm. show title too – this feeling that like this feeling that none of the – for me, 42 years of being alive on this planet and living in this country have taught me that certain things apply, and that there are – that when you do – particularly if you're a politician, if you do thing A, then the natural consequence will be consequence B. And to learn that, in my opinion – and I don't even think this is my opinion. I think I would say these are the facts. A certain population in this country's desire to preserve their own – what they see as their own position in society is so strong that it allows them to discount every single obviously awful thing that this person in office does. Basically, the sense that rules don't apply, that nothing matters, that life is hell, that's a feeling that I have had pervasively for the last 2 years – every time he does something or says something that's just awful to me. And so to watch – and I'm not saying you don't feel this way. Don't get me wrong. I'm just explaining my experience. Every day I get up and I read the news and I feel a almost physical pain about what this person is doing to our country. And for me, today is the first opportunity for some meaningful – brakes to be put on that.
Red so, Dem Redemption.
Oh, two.
Oh my god! I can't believe I told that joke.
That's actually not bad. In fact, well, of course, you should get on. You should get on. Not to be thirsty, but you should really get on. Oh yeah, you're right. That kind of messes,
kinda
up
that messes it up.
Anyway, well, no, you could actually make the argument Red Dem Redemption too, because it's like the Dems are getting redemption over the Red Party.
It'll be funny if I explain it all in a following tweet.
I would just say what you do is you tweet that, and then if it gets some traction, your first tweet is listen to my SoundCloud
right.
that you put in the comments.
Yeah, sure. Start a SoundCloud. Then listen to my SoundCloud.
Is there a way that you can – this is not on topic, but – that's obviously the thing everybody does now. If you have a big viral tweet, then the first thing in the thread is how do you make your response to your own tweet the first thing in the thread? Can you do that? Is that create a thread? Somehow people know
how to
do that.
Oh, that's a good point because, yeah, you know what? It must be because you don't – if I send a follow-up tweet to something I've tweeted, usually I'm the first one to react to it. It's kind of part of the joke or whatever I'm trying to do. But you're right. Like – now you've already gotten thousands and thousands of likes and replies. Now how does yours become the first one? Maybe that's the algorithm that they just bump.
There's
got to
be some. Oh right, there's some way to do that because that's what everybody does now. Anyway, so I think for me, I have felt like I mean, honestly, it's not even, and I'm not trying to like argue with your theory or your premise. It really, for me, has been worse than like a sporting loss. Like, I was bummed that the Seahawks lost on Sunday, but I hit a point with like a football game where, and this is totally a coping mechanism, where if my team is about to lose or if they lose and it's just a done, it's been settled. There's no going back. There's no winning it at the end. It's like we lost. The what my brain switched into is, it's a football game. It doesn't matter. And I totally do that just to make myself get rid of this like intense sadness I feel over this meaningless thing that is a football game. I can't do that with this stuff because it is real life, and it's real life for women. And I know I'm really grandstanding here, and I'm making it sound like you don't think about it in these terms, Andrew. And I know you do, or I assume you do. But for me, it's just like, I need to know every single thing today about what's going on with the polling stations and where the votes are coming in. I've already like bookmarked all this shit on the New York Times of these like real time maps. I'm bouncing today between every time MSNBC. I joked about catheter commercials, but every time MSNBC went to a commercial, I switched to CNN. By the way, I would have been listening to NPR, but God bless our brothers, sisters,
you
and
had the
gender non-binary identifiers at NPR. But God, get it the fuck together. Like, I don't want to listen to Peace and Love. I don't want to listen to a story about Shirley Chisholm from 1968 because we're on the anniversary of night of like, and that's not to take anything away from the accomplishment of Shirley Chisholm. But it's like, man, NPR is the worst when there is a breaking story or a story that is wall to wall. Like, I just want to turn on my radio and I want to hear someone standing by a polling station in Ohio, even if they don't have shit to say. And again, this is more about my anxiety than anything else. But it was just like, NPR is not even like,
they're not tapping into what the energy is, right?
Like, I love the show 1A with Joshua Johnson, mm-hmm. which was formerly the Diane Rehm show. I think Joshua Johnson's great. And that's one of my favorite radio shows to listen to currently. I listened to it today, and it's just such an NPR take. It's like, today we're talking about faith and politics. And I'm not saying that that's a completely irrelevant topic, but they had like a pastor on, and they were like, how does your faith inform your politics? And I was just like, this is the most, again, peace and love. I love that show. I'll probably see them at PRPD. Don't get mad at me, Joshua. But like, it's just like, I don't fucking care about that today. I need to know what the vibrations are in various important places in this country in terms of votes, in terms of the line for votes, in terms of early returns. I don't care if they're accurate or inaccurate. I just need to know. I don't need like a ponderous 30,000 foot view of anything today. I'm just speaking for myself.
Yeah, and now I'm really going to burn bridges, so I'll not
Let's
say
do
too
it.
Much, but also, after Morning Edition, like I turned on the radio maybe around 9:30 or something, and on the local level, like it was just, I mean, I turned it on and it sounded like I had turned on 30 Rock and they were doing a parody of public radio. I mean, I'm sure it was important content, but it was just like, I don't think it had anything to do at all. It just had to do with some random local issue that was totally irrelevant to today and, you know, spoken about in a very ponderous, careful way. And I was like, wow, wonder what's going on in the sports station. Anyway, I'm a bad person. What was I going to say? So much to respond to. Yeah, no, you know, to go back to the bigger issues that you're talking about. I mean, I really regret even saying that because I think when I said something about like comparing it to a sporting event like that, that was unfair for me to say that about you. And I don't even stand by that at all. I reject that message and I'm returning my own campaign donation because I think there was one point, like honestly, I think what happened was there was one point where Genevieve said one thing to me and it wasn't about one of the issues that is related to human rights or whatever. It was something that's, and it did, it legitimately sucked. But I remembered thinking her reaction, and I never even talked to her about it, so I could be wrong about this one too, just being like, oh, this is not just about what's happening with the reality of this, whatever sure. this defeat is. This is about so much more because it didn't tie into those issues that were kind of bleeding over. And of course, you know that I'm bleeding over those things too. And this idea of like feeling.
And by
like
the way, I took zero offense to
oh, yeah.
anything about the sport.
No,
thing.
I just
like,
think
that
like,
I don't think you're like misunderstanding me. Or
yeah, I, but I don't think I do take it back and And also kind of sincerely kind of apologize, because I think that's a dumb thing to do, to tell people what's going on in their brain. But I think also, though, to be real about it, is I wonder how much of this is my own defense mechanism. And I don't want to – last time we talked about this, we got a note from a listener who's like, hey, listen, you sound kind of despondent. Stop being despondent. That's not helping society. Like, you know, here are things that I'm doing to try to make a change in my community. And, you know, and she was being totally cool about it. But, like, I dug where she was coming from. And I don't want to be some stereotypical Gen Xer who's like, oh, man, it doesn't matter. We're all screwed.
Oh, the Will-I-ennials?
The Will-I-ennials. Because I feel like it took me a long time to realize how important this stuff is. Like, growing up, I didn't pay attention to the news and politics hardly at all. And when I say growing up, I mean through college. It wasn't really until I got a job at a radio station, because I was interested in radio, that I started working in a newsroom, that I started saying, oh, okay. And that's really an embarrassing thing for me to admit. And I hate that about myself. And so I don't want to be like so frustrated with the current state of politics that I slip back into some sort of Otto the bus driver circa 1995. It doesn't matter, man. again, keeping the or like in Mayberry, when that special episode.
Right, exactly. When Aunt B.
when Aunt B refused to vote. Anyway, I'm rambling, and I feel like I'm hogging the
Aunt
mic.
Aunt B may not have been allowed to vote. Was that pre or post suffrage?
I don't know. Anyway, I will end just by saying I don't want to give into the just frustration or the feeling of hopelessness and helplessness that I have felt over the past 2 years. But also, part of me has honestly lost so. Even if things really break the Democrats' way, I have lost so much faith in. I can't believe I'm saying I've just lost so much faith in, I don't know, the process or my fellow Americans or what it is, that some of these issues, they just shouldn't have to be such a fight, that some of these things that are just so obvious, just obvious decency, that we even have to fight for it is so disgusting to me.
Well, right. I mean, that's the sort of cloud that looms over everything, which is, I mean, the statistical likelihood is that the Democrats will get control of the House, which means they will be able to slow down and stop a lot of the things that this president would try to do. There will be at least some accountability. Mm-hmm. That's probably what will happen, and that will feel good to me. Mm-hmm. I will pop the Martinellis tonight. But the darker cloud over it is that what has been exposed in this country, and I kind of referenced it earlier, is that there is a sizable percentage of the population in this country that is willing to embrace an openly racist, openly sexist, openly tax avoidant, awful human being, because it feels like it might keep their place in society, or what they see as their base, or get them to a place that they feel is rightfully theirs. And that's not going to go away in 4 years, or I would say, I guess, in 2 years. I know how elections work. In 2 years, when I hope anyway, this guy will be gone. But it's like, so that is unsettling, because there is going to continue to be a battle for the soul of this country. Now, I tend to think that this guy is a particular lightning rod that I think emboldens and animates those. I think those tendencies have always been there. I'm not sure if you know this. I'm a bit of a history buff. This is a country where white people used to own black people. So let's just say there's always been a lot of this shit going on. I think that it kind of goes in and out of the shadows. And I think right now is a time where it's way out of the shadows, because there's somebody in charge who empowers those sorts of people. But I do think that, you know, a fish stinks from the head. And I think that when he's not in office, I do think there will still be people that feel the racist way they feel, but I think it will be harder for them to be out there in front with it. And my hope is that over time, those people will die, and then they will be replaced by people who don't hold those fears, what we call the millennial generation. And so that, I mean, but I'm with you in that, like, I understand that feeling of being like, okay, fine, cool. The Dems get five more seats. They pick up five seats more than the Republicans in the House, and now they can just be a break on this whole thing. Great. What does that really fix structurally, or what does that really fix fundamentally about how people in this country feel? It fixes nothing, and it's not going to like make all the people that are wearing MAGA hats take their MAGA hat off and throw it on the ground and be like, "What was I thinking?" Like they're not going to change their opinion, and that's troubling to consider.
Yeah, no, it is important though. I mean, everything that you said, however many House seats it takes, like though that is important. The accountability, like you said, is incredible. The ability to keep the executive in check is more important now than ever. And so, again, I just want to make sure that nobody thinks I'm downplaying that or I'm saying, it's a midterms, I don't care. Obviously, this is hugely important. I mean, from even when you look at wherever the Mueller investigation is going, like it's going to be very important that we have power. The Democrats, I think, have power in the House, and you know, I'm not hopeful enough to really think about the Senate. I guess for some reason, though, maybe it is about anxiety for me, and it's more like I'm going to go into this box for a while and then I'm going to come out. And can you just tell me everything that happened? Maybe it was 2016. Maybe it was watching the results come in there. I don't know what
But let me say this too. And I'm not trying to like shadow box with our listeners or with anybody else, but there has been in the last 2 years a lot of particularly people on the left arguing with other people on the left about whether they're doing it right or not in terms of their, like, are you resist enough? And it's like, look, just like with anything, I just think everybody has to – and this is – I mean, again, we have listeners who are Republicans. I hope you guys swerved on this show because this has got to be – I mean, this is basically like me listening to Alex Jones or something. Like this is not for – peace and love, but this show is probably not for you, this episode I should say. But what I was going to say is like – honestly, one thing is I think we all have to – people that are progressive, people that are very troubled by what's going on in our country politically, I think we have to give each other space to react to it however we need to react to it. Like not everybody – like everybody goes through trauma and this is, I think, a traumatic event. And some people, the way they're reacting to the trauma is to go march and to be out there and to just make it everything about their life is to hashtag resist. And I respect that. And for some people, they need to just kind of hang back and be like, man, I got to like practice some self-care right now by not engaging with every single thing. And I think that's also okay. And I think the idea that anybody is going to tell somebody else how they should be processing this world we've been living in from a political standpoint, I think that – I have a problem with that. I think just like anything else, we have to give each other space to go through this stuff the way that works for us or helps us be the feel the most safe and okay, which I know it sounds like I'm putting like really grandiose terms on this. And I will also just say, as if it needs to be clarified, I'm at the top of the pyramid of people who are not threatened by our current state of affairs. Like – I hate it from a kind of a sort of intellectual standpoint, but like straight, white, male, nobody's coming for me, you know, like so I'm saying all this from a position where I'm the least under threat. But I do really stand by the notion that we have to give each other room to just deal with this shit the way we need to deal with it on a personal level.
Yeah, I really am concerned that I hate everything that I've said this because I'm trying to articulate.
Because I whizzed some real smokers today, and I don't want you gutting this show editorially. Don't chop it. Don't screw it because I'm on fire.
Yeah, I mean, contrarily, that would involve me doing extra work, so I'm not super into that either. No, I don't feel like I've portrayed whatever I'm feeling very well because it really sounds like I'm either saying this doesn't matter or I don't.
I don't think it sounds like that.
It's just my brain is just. I want to just know what happens. I think
To take it back to sports, I apologize for not letting you finish, but to take it back to sports, there are some games where I want to watch every single moment of the game because I want to be I want to be like the canary in the coal mine. I want to be – or maybe I want to be like a better analogy. I want to be at the fire watching station where I'm the highest up and I can see the smoke first. I want the first indication of how this game's going to go and what the outcome is going to be. There are other games where – and this usually comes if the team I'm following has been really, really funking with my heart, in the words of Will.i.am. there are certain games where I actually can't watch the game. I just have to check on the final score because I can't be on the journey of that game. I just have to go like, rip the Band-Aid off. Did we win? Did we lose? And so some people might be processing today like that, which I completely get. And I just be like, wake me up tomorrow and just like, what, you know, just give me the final thing. Let's not agonize. Let's not go on the journey. I'm also not saying this is you, Andrew. Maybe you're somewhere in the middle. But I understand. I could understand someone having the thing of like, look, I don't want to know every single thing. I just want to like, I'm going to listen to Yanni.
Or Laurel.
I'm going to listen to Laurel or Yanni. And then tomorrow I'm going to wake up and I'm just going to look at the cover of the newspaper and then I'll just know what's up. Because that's that. I just got to, you know what I mean? I'll do that sometimes when I'm gambling. If it's like a game that you don't have a choice in the matter, I'll just be like, I'll look away from the cards and then I'll just look back. Like if it was Baccarat or something where it just is what it is. I would even look away and then look back down because I don't want to go on the journey of the highs and the lows of like, oh, this is really good. Oh, no, this is really bad. Oh, this was okay. I just want to know the end result.
Do you ever do that thing where you're like, you look at your cards when you're not talking to them, but then when you talk to the cards, you do that thing where you look away?
I'm just trying to learn how to change my cards or at least ignore them.
Wait, Axl one Rose. Second before you go on. I just okay. In between the political talk, I did have this quick commercial message I have to share.
Hi, I'm Chuck Woolery, and I'm here to talk to you about catheters.
Okay, we're good.
By the way, fuck that guy.
Wait, what is
you
his
know
problem?
His whole thing?
No,
he's
but...
just a he's MAGA. He's
oh really
super MAGA guy.
Really?
Yeah, and it's just like gross. It doesn't even feel real. Like it feels like, I mean, obviously it's somewhat real, but there are certain just kind of like media gadfly / pariahs that are just looking. They're like their final act. It's to me, it's like, and again, peace and love to any contemporary Christian music singers in our audience. But I feel like a lot of times people who've failed at other styles of music or have just kind of been drummed out of the like mainstream, they will eventually become contemporary Christian singers. Like Avril Lavigne is now apparently a contemporary Christian singer because it's just I feel like it's the least competition. And I grew up listening to a lot of I know the world of contemporary Christian music really well, and I'm not trying to shit on people that make it or whatever. And I'm not talking about Pedro the Lion or other interesting self-reflective singers who may have a spiritual life. But I feel like with like Chuck Woolery was just like, no one's going to let me host dating shows anymore because I'm not relevant to the culture. But you know where I can still get some traction? I can still get on the Jason Rance show or whatever because I don't care. I'll do it. Come at me, bro. It's like I think Chuck Woolery is doing it really as just a way to continue to be relevant in at least some place and to get some kind of attention. And I find it almost worse than him being a true believer.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about him. I guess my Google News alert for Chuck Woolery. I don't know what I got to do. Hit the side of my computer or something. Yeah. No, I didn't
we'll
really follow
him. 2 and 2.
He must be getting up there in age too, right?
Yeah, but he looks exactly like when he was hosting Love Connection, which is also troubling. It's like the fact that you can DFTB told me you can get 10 chicken McNuggets for $1 at Burger King. No. That doesn't scan. How that?
Yes.
You should not be able to make that happen. And Chuck Woolery shouldn't look the same.
Dude.
These are not naturally occurring events.
That was my issue. He's 77 years old, by the way. That was my issue with the campaign for. As a matter of fact, the cost is going down. It used to be like 10 nuggets for $5 or something. And there were these commercials. It was last political. I think it was in 20 leading up to the 2016 election, there were these Burger King commercials that were in heavy rotation where it was like a debate forum looking thing, and there's like Mr. Stuffed Suit kind of guy, and he's debating the creepy Burger King guy
King.
Who's just silent, and they ask him like, you know, what is your position on the issues, and the King just drops down a banner that says like, you can get 100 nuggets for like $3 or whatever the hell the offer was. And then the opponent like has no comeback to that. And I always scream at the TV. The comeback is that's too cheap. Like there's a point with food where if you're not paying enough, it's actually a deficit. Like what the hell is in that you're just like slinging out handfuls of chicken and telling people that we only owe you a quarter for it.
Yeah. I want... I don't want my meat products to be like free, cheap, like beyond cheap. I don't want them paying me to eat their breaded meat products.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
You know, like that's not a compelling argument for me. So let's just to quickly talk about Axl Rose. I sort of said everything I had to say about it in the intro to the show. But Axl Rose kind of surprised everyone by reeling off a series of tweets the other day where he basically said, and I'm going to paraphrase here, he basically said, look, we don't pick our fans and anyone is welcome to love Guns N' Roses, but I just want to tell you that, you know, Donald Trump is really a bad dude for this country and he lies. And it's like a whole long series of tweets. And it was shocking to everyone because, like, Axl Rose is enigmatic. Well, first of all, he's had legal trouble. He's had violence towards women. He's not the greatest carrier of the message. I'll be honest about that. And then there's just the issue with Chinese democracy, something that he's long opposed by not releasing the album Chinese Democracy
for over 15 years.
But anyway, I think we were all kind of delighted, as our friend Durs said the other day, woke Axl is giving me life.
Yeah.
And then also our friend Chris Hayes, who takes a more public platform than the rest of us in that he's famous. He's quoted in this Yahoo article I'm looking at, or a tweet of his is quoted saying roughly the same thing. Woke Axl is a delightful plot twist.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday.
Anyway.
Was it David or Sammy? Somebody texted us, I guess November Rain was the blue wave.
Oh, yeah, that was my brother Sammy. Who check this out. So, you know, DFTB is now the board op for Cairo Nights with G. Scott.
He's going to be running that place, man. I just know it. I know the trajectory of that place, and I know. Oh, yeah? What? What do you know?
Well, no, I'm just saying I agree with you 100%.
Oh, I thought you said I don't know.
Because he's just going to become completely invaluable there, and yes. He's like super reliable, smart, and great.
Yeah.
And so he'll just like – he'll rise through the ranks so fast. He's board oping all week, and then he like board ops the graveyard shift on the weekends. And what he does during his like graveyard board oping shift while like coast to coast is basically running itself is he's like mixing tons and tons of music bumps for that night show,
mm-hmm.
and he's mixing. Some of them are songs that my brother Sammy has composed.
Oh, because
like,
no kidding.
Brother Sammy like makes, you know, kind of like he likes to make. I'm going to say electronic music, but that's probably not the right category. But my brother Sammy produces music as sort of a hobby, I think. And so you have my brother David playing music my brother Sam composed to intro Cairo Nights, where you and I both once hosted shows. The prophecy has been foretold.
I just love that. I mean, the thing is, though, this sounds so paternalistic. I am just getting such a gosh darn kick out of David and him working at Cairo and him and seeing him, because he's significantly younger than us, right? He is 21 now, 22.
He's 22. He's exactly 20 years younger than me.
So to see him going through some of the same phases that I went through when I was first getting into radio, now I was getting into public, and he'd gone right to the Cairo where I later worked. But like even that kind of drilling down on like, wait a second, you're telling me that if I just go through my record collection or whatever it is and find little bits and bumps and I spend hours putting them together, you'll just play them on the radio? Like I'll just be bumping in for a Laura Kanoi show? Like you're just going to use my little bumps for that? Like that is like one of the early kind of addictive things that I got into in radio. I think you were somewhat similar to that, right?
Oh, yeah. I still occasionally will hear on KUOW, home of non-relevant election coverage, peace and love. I love you guys. Big warm hug. But anyway, I will occasionally hear some music drop that has like literally survived 20 years, exactly 20 years. I think I was 22 when I started working there, and like probably four different like audio vault-esque systems.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they're on now, but just like something that at one point was probably on a Digicart.
Mm-hmm.
And a clean version, a clean instrumental version of Here We Go by Naughty by Nature
right.
that I had inputted into the system for – it bumping in on the conversation with Ross Reynolds.
Right.
And I will hear it bumping into the record or something. And I just, it fills, and I know that I put it there, and that it fills my heart with such, my heart grows to 3 times its size, which I am seeing a doctor about, by the way.
That was an accident.
I thought you were giving me an example of a
no,
mute bump.
No, I was looking for one, but I don't know how Windows works, so I just typed in bump in my computer, and then a different song started playing. But there's one, it's driving me crazy that I can't think of his name right now, but there's one like 45-second bump that I made that I know I'm the one who put it into the system, and I will still hear it on KUOW. I don't think most of my stuff has survived this long, but I will hear one or two, and I'll be like, oh, that's mine.
Oh, I think I found it here.
Wait, wait for the good part.
That's Ben Allison off the album Peace Pipe. I'm Garth Trinidad.
You know, I wanted to actually, I'm glad that you played that. Good Garth Trinidad pull. I want to say a couple of things about media. Just because I can sort of hear our listeners, like, again, not to shadow box, but I could sort of hear, and you know this, but I just want it on the record acknowledging that you and I know this. One of the reasons why public radio won't do the election coverage the day of is because they're also super careful about not doing anything that could sway or seem to try to sway anything on election
right.
day.
Electioneering.
Which is electioneering, that kind of thing, which there are other ways to do it, of course, which is, you know, you take the 24-hour news network, cable network style. But the thing is, I don't know. I don't know that I necessarily agree with this, but speaking of on the media with Bob Garfield and Brooke Gladstone, when they talk about wall-to-wall coverage, they kind of point out how it might feel good for us to be glued to the TV right. even when there's nothing real, there's no new information. I think they're talking a little bit more when it's like kind of a post-disaster kind of situation
right.
or, you know,
school shooting,
and then you're just watching it over and over and over, and there's no new information, and then people are grasping for new information, and that's how misinformation gets out there. And I know that I've had Brooke on my old show on Cairo. You know, she says, you break away, you cover other things, because it's not good for the world when you're just obsessing over one story and you're, again, kind of helping spread misinformation potentially. But I understand that from an intellectual point of view, but my gut is still with you, Luke. Like, you got to find a way to, when there is so much energy around one thing, you got to kind of find some kind of way to tap into that energy. Otherwise, we're just going to go somewhere else, maybe somewhere that is less responsible journalistically.
I agree 100% that when – I agree with everything you just said. And I also know that I'm not getting a ton of useful information today before the first of the exit polls come back. I'm not getting much useful information. I'm just scratching an itch, or I'm just trying to scratch an itch that is, I want information, and I'm hearing sounds that vaguely sound like information, but they're really not, because mm-hmm. we just don't know yet. And like, I understand that. And I'll tell you this, tomorrow I will be listening to NPR, because what NPR does a great job of is once the news has been established, once the result has been established, now the analysis of it is on point. And I love that. And I will be consuming it. And I think that, you know, 364 days out of the year, I'm going with the NPR approach. And there's one day out of the year, or one day out of every 2 years, I guess you could say, that because – and I know – again, I understand that it's the high fructose corn syrup of news coverage. It has limited nutritional value, but I just want to mm-hmm. I just want to gulp it down today. This is one of those days that happen every couple of years where I do wish that they would just send a bunch of people out to places and just make them yammer.
Mm-hmm,
because,
yeah.
And by the way, I there's nothing I want to watch, and I don't think you're saying this, obviously, but there's nothing I want to watch less than Jeffrey Toobin live from Manhattan with a graphic that shows he's in Manhattan trying to diagnose the legality of a school shooting in Texas, because they could get Jeffrey Toobin on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that kind of coverage. It's literally why I got out of doing commercial radio, because when we would be doing our various shows and some horrible thing would unfold in the Northwest or nationally, and it was our job to just start talking about it, even though we had no insight or information, and it would just, you know what I mean? Like, I hate that kind of coverage, and I don't watch that kind of shit, and I don't like to make that kind of content. Today, though, to just hear, I guess I'm just going around and around by saying I totally agree with you, and I hear what you're saying, and you're right. Like, generally speaking, when you don't have information about a topic, it's not helpful to people for you to just speculate or to just keep flapping your gums. Although I have described basically the underlying principle of this show, just not about serious topics, which is flapping our gums for 1 to 2 hours every day, whether or not we have any information. But yeah, like most of the time, I hate watching reporters try to vamp. There was this thing that happened. Why am I doing this right now? We need to go. We need to move on with our lives together as listeners, as show creators, as humans. But I'm going to just say this really quick. Carrie and I were this weekend, we were watching the news, and there was a very horrific event that happened at the Seattle Center. It was a domestic violence incident, and a woman was killed. And it was awful. But it was bizarre how it unfolded, because it happened to be across the street from where Como TV is based. So they were – it was outside – it happened in the food court at the Seattle Center House, which is now called the Armory. Happened at a Mod Pizza, which is very odd because that's a place Carrie does work for.
I know that exact one, yeah.
And it was an extremely bizarre event because the Como reporters were so close. I mean, they were about 1,000 feet from the event. And so, of course, they were the first ones there, and they had multiple reporters deployed, and they were – they just – Como basically broke all of its normal programming to just cover this terrible event. But they had nothing to say about it. And Carrie and I just happened to be sitting there, you know, we were watching Channel 4 at this moment. And so we just watched for an hour this quite sort of like helpless flailing of these two poor people who are the reporters try to just vamp and Phil out as they're standing in the grass outside of the Armory, which is the closest the police will let them get. And they just kept saying the same thing over and over again, and what they were saying was nothing, and they seemed clearly overmatched by the situation. And I was just watching it, and Carrie and I both were like, this is embarrassing. Like, we're embarrassed for the people. And I'm not blaming those reporters. They're just trying to make a living, and they're trying to do what they're being told to do. But we were embarrassed by it. And so, of course, I'm with you that that kind of shit is not good. And even today is probably not good. But I will tell you this. As soon as we decide on a show title and a song to go out with, I'm going to crank that Sonos back up, and I'm going to go back to just listening to – and it's weird listening to TV on the radio – not just the band,
But it is weird listening to TV on the radio too.
It's also, you know what?
Just weird.
That's a statement that works in both
yeah,
contexts,
right?
But no, I'll be listening to it because it's soothing for me in this way that I've tried to explain through the last hour. It soothes me for some reason. I may even listen to it on my jog today. But anyway, all I was going to say about Axl Rose, and I already said this, so this is boring, is what I was struck by with all of Axl Rose's tweets were that he consistently uses N, the letter N, in the place of the word and. And like, of course, Guns N' Roses, Guns, letter N, Roses. I didn't realize this was such a lifestyle choice for him.
Are you talking about G and F and R?
That's the very same.
Okay, yeah.
Welcome to the jungle. Bill's Mafia, welcome to the jungle.
That's an interesting mashup. I had the same exact thought when I was going through his tweets yesterday, by the way. I was like, wow, he really does like that. He came by G and R very honestly, didn't he?
Right. Like, you realize like that wasn't just a whiskey addled thought he came to somewhere in LA or maybe in Indiana before he had migrated west, and it was just convenient. It was like, this is a guy who stands for, you know, he stands for a couple of things. Regrettable cornrows during a comeback attempt, cold November rain, wearing a catcher's padding and a kilt during an epic video, and also that we don't need to be using the word and, we can just substitute and, it'll save us all a lot of time and characters. I kind of like that he's consistent on this point.
Somebody should make a video, like this thing will go viral. If you know Axl Rose, make a video of him while you show him the word "and" for the first time. I just want to see what his reaction. It is going to blow.
Will he
his
start
mind.
Crying?
He's gonna go through doubt at first, and then he's gonna come to realization. There will be tears. Yeah, it's gonna be something.
Dude, I got hit so hard by one of those videos. I think Paul F. Tompkins just said, like, "I keep this at the ready." You know, it was whatever, like, whatever political nightmare news that had unfolded that particular day, just one of those days. And he said, "I keep this at the ready when I need to feel better." And it was just a long, it was a supercut of people who were hearing impaired, who were who had gotten, basically were hearing for the first time, had been given hearing aids or a surgery of some kind, or they were basically able to hear. And it's just, oh my God, it wrecks you in the best way to just see the response from all these different people as they hear the words of their children or loved ones or parents or anybody for the first time. It's just amazing. So if you need, I'm hoping we won't have to use this, but if things don't go great today, tomorrow you can just find me under my desk. Actually, I'll be in Seattle. You can find me under the desk at the Hotel Monaco, just crying, rocking back and forth, and listening to and watching videos of people hearing for the first time.
My friend, our friend, and my former colleague, Jolie, you know her. I love her so much. She used to play videos and supercuts of people being reunited with their pets, especially soldiers. Oh, I think she would just dedicate evenings to that if she was feeling low, just like dial those
things
up. I can't,
you know, I almost like this is, we really need to wrap things up, and I'm not doing a good job of that, but like this whole vegetarian thing, by the way, all joking aside, don't sleep on this eggplant lasagna recipe. I'd be happy to share it with you.
I'm not an egg interest. I mean that I'm glad that you are happy.
It's
I'm
all
not
cheese
an egg
based.
Oh, actually, even some lasagnas, depending on what kind of cheese, is fine. I'm actually not an eggplant man. I'm the eggplant.
What about
man.
Aubergine? Aubergine?
What is that?
That's the British way of saying eggplant.
Oh, it's I don't like the consistency. I don't like the texture. I don't know why. I just never.
Well,
have.
Anybody out there, if you're interested, it is, yes, Virginia. There is a low carb and also vegetarian option for lasagna. It's eggplant, and you basically grill. You get two large eggplants. You slice them on a mandolin. If you borrow it from Del McCurry, give it back to him clean. That's a mandolin. That's a bluegrass joke.
Oh.
Anyway. You slice these eggplant slices, and then you grill them so that they have some kind of structural integrity. And then you basically make a normal lasagna without meat. And, man, it's so good. I'm, like, genuinely stoked about it.
I mean, it's kind of like eggplant parmesan, right? Only a little bit
more. It is.
More,
you know what? Yeah. As I was putting it together, I mean, except it's not breaded.
Right.
To the degree that sometimes eggplant parm can be breaded. But, yeah, it really is more of an eggplant parmesan than a lasagna. But it not unlike the MSNBC and CNN broadcast, it scratches the itch for me of having, like, a delicious, cheesy, tomato-y, pasta-y thing.
Can I just mention, you mentioned that you're going to be in Seattle, so that also means that you will be doing TBTL from here tomorrow. So I'm really excited about that. And I you know, I actually got a note from a friend who was listening who was just like, you know what, you guys, the show's even better when you guys are in the same room together. So I feel the same way. So I'm really looking forward to tomorrow.
Yeah, me too, man. I'm excited to see you, and I'm excited to I got a crazy week. I will be in Seattle tonight and tomorrow, and then I'm flying to Chicago. I'm doing Wait Wait this week, which is kind of like feels like the end of a story because I was on Wait Wait the week of the election in 2016. Mm. And let me tell you, that was a glum room. Mm. I mean, not that people weren't. I mean, ultimately, it was actually cathartic, and everybody was. I thought it was a real kind of relief to joke about it. But man, that vibe was weird.
Yeah.
And so now I'm going back on the week that maybe there will be some sanity restored to things. Then I'm going to Boston on Friday for literally 3 hours. I'm flying from Chicago to Boston. I'm doing the story about tater tots for Sunday morning for the food show. So I'm going to Boston I've never been to Boston before.
Really? That surprises me.
I know. Me too. It's just an odd. I think a lot of my anti-masshole tendencies are because I haven't experienced masshole. Maybe that would make me less into it. I think some of it is because I have no experience with the city of Boston other than just theoretically. So I'm going to go to Boston for 3 hours, interview this guy about tater tots, fly to Portland that night, Friday night, and then Saturday and Sunday we have live wires with this literary festival, and I still have to read many books on the plane. So I don't know why I decided to share that with everyone, but I did.
I'm bummed, and I don't regret it.
I regret nothing.
I'm bummed that you don't get to spend more time in Boston. I really like Boston. I would certainly move back there. I don't think Genevieve is interested in moving back to that climate. But and I never really lived in Boston, of course. I lived in New Hampshire, but Genevieve lived in Boston for a big chunk of our relationship, and so I spent a lot of time there. And I think it's a really cool city. One of these days, if you have another work thing there and a little bit more flexibility in your schedule, just build in an extra day. I think you'll like this.
Yeah, city. I definitely want to do that because it's kind of it's one of the major cities in America. It's got all this history, and it's a big part of many conversations about this country. And so for me to not have any experience with it is kind of a blind spot for me. So yeah, I'm going to get back east again. I don't know why I'm just talking about my travel schedule. Anyway, I'll be back there at some point, and I'm going to spend some time there.
All right, I know you know about TBTL the podcast. You're listening to it right now, but have you tried TBTL the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Do you want to hear some show name ideas before we wrap this bad boy up?
Yes, and I had an idea maybe for outro music, although you know what?
Okay.
Our friend Leni, Celine Ramadan, who performs sometimes as prom queen but also as Leni, has a new Leni album out, and I was going to do that for music for your weekend. I forgot to do that, but she also... Sorry, this is just stream of consciousness. She's got a
cover. Well, I was just
talking
about my travel schedule, which is completely uninteresting, so go for it.
She does a live version of November Rain. And she does
Oh, come
queen.
On. That's
that
too perfect.
So freaking good, but I'm looking to see if it's available. Yeah, it looks like her version is online here. So can we go out with that?
Of course. I have Take One McConan and Call Me in the Morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then one, Don't Praise the Machine.
Mm-hmm. I thought you had a different one in there. Then Take One McConan and Call. I thought we were at a different McConan one. I don't know. I'll go with the McConan one. I'm also going
to
go back.
I was trying to say DeConans of the day.
Right. No,
so dumb.
I'm going to go back. I think there was another one, the McConan related, that I'll figure that out.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thank you again, everyone, for the kind messages. I really appreciate it. It does my heart good. Thank you, Andrew. And we'll be right back here tomorrow with more Imaginary Radio for you. So don't miss it. Until then, go Mariners. Go Blue Wave. Go eat a bagel. It's not the water. Take one McConan and call me in the morning.
Red
and
Dem Redemption.
Red Dem Redemption 2. Sorry. Let's get that dread.
Sorry.
Hey, please remember, don't mount too tall.
And good luck to all.
Nothing lasts forever, and we both know hearts can change. And it's hard to hold a candle in the cold November rain.
Power out.